which includes the nations. He says, whoever will follow me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Well, God started preparing Christmas long before we might ever realize. He used prophets who were people God would use to deliver a message from his divine counsel, and usually during times of imminent trouble and hardship, usually during times that addressed nations who were under threat. But he also did so to encourage his people, to encourage them towards the way of his salvation. Isaiah was such a prophet who spoke God's words concerning the child who would be born. This child who would be born to us. And it was written around 500 years before the birth of Christ. The Messiah child would come. The Lord knew it would be important. He knew it would be important for his people to look forward to the moment of redemption, to set their hope on things that lay ahead. And during a time of trouble and certain political instability and national insecurity, the Israelites would soon be delivered into the hands of their enemies on account of their unfaithfulness to the God who rescued them out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The Assyrians are rising in power. The Babylonians will overthrow them in time. The northern kingdom of Israel will soon fall. The southern kingdom of Judah will fall later. And God raises up the prophet Isaiah to tell the people his message. It was this message. But by his grace, the message doesn't end there. God is going to bring the Assyrians against the north. He'll bring the Babylonians against the Assyrians. He'll send out the south into exile in Babylon. He'll bring the Persian king Cyrus against the Babylonians. But he will also bring Israel back home. He will also rule as Emmanuel, God with us. He will judge Israel's enemies and bring all the nations to himself too. And somehow a mysterious servant will bear the sins of many, reconciling Israel and the world to the Lord our God himself. That's Isaiah's message. That though you're surrounded by your enemies, surrounded by adversity, some on account of your own sins, some as a result of others, but the Lord's forgiveness and deliverance is near. He's here to comfort you in your distress and to instill hope in the greatness of his salvation. Let's read the words of the prophet Isaiah to God's people as he encourages them. In Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And so this season of Advent, this Christmas celebration, is a time and a day of looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. The coming of God himself into our world as we know it, voluntarily leaving his throne in heaven for the greatest rescue mission ever completed. It was the mission he was born for, to which the angel told Joseph, "You shall call his name Yeshua, because he will save his people from their sins." His victory secures our place in eternity forever, and it guarantees the complete reversal of and utter destruction of all suffering and all death forever. Well, on December 24th, 1968, in the video we just watched a moment ago, it was at a time in our nation's history when political, social, and racial unrest seemed to be at a pinnacle, at a time when war was raging, when it seemed like the world was falling apart. The view from space, or from the heavens, It displayed another reality. And Colonel James Irwin, the eighth man to set foot on the moon, he described it like this, saying, "The Earth reminded us of a Christmas tree ornament hanging in the blackness of space. As we got farther away and farther away, it diminished in size. Finally, it shrank to the size of a marble, the most beautiful marble you can imagine." And so high above a world fractured by sin, the astronauts, they spoke of the one true God who spoke the world into existence. He's a God of order and a God of peace. Colonel Irwin said that God walking on earth is more important than man walking on the moon. Well, why? Because he brought us peace. Peace is close to us today because 2,000 years ago, God walked the earth. And he gave his life as a final sacrifice, making peace by the blood of his cross. Paul says in Colossians 1:20, "For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live inside the Messiah child, inside Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. He made the way for you and I to have peace with him over our stubborn, sinful nature. The sinful nature is all about self, about pleasing self, promoting self, and preserving self. I have the sinful nature. You have the sinful nature. And under the right circumstances, you will choose to do the wrong thing apart from yielding to Christ. You'll try not to, but you will. You have the sin nature. You were born with it. And the Christ child was born to save you from it. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And Christmas commemorates the day and the way that God saved us from ourselves. Each of us entered into this world with a sin nature, and God entered into the world to take it away. Why? Because the sin nature leads to death. And so the Christmas season is a season of interruptions. Some we enjoy, some we don't. You may be facing an interruption during this season of life. What you wanted and what you received didn't line up. They didn't match. So you may be feeling troubled and anxious now. Everything inside you and every voice around you is saying, get out, get angry, get revenge, do it your way now. But don't listen to those voices. You cannot face this crisis if you don't face God in Christ first. In Colossians 1:16-17, Paul says, "For everything, absolutely everything above and below, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence, and he holds it all together right up to this very moment. God holds it all together, and he will hold it together for you." Our songs at Christmas, they serve to remind us that this season isn't merely about looking back at that holy night when the Christ was born. Our celebration of his first coming is meant to reignite in us a greater longing for his second coming. In fact, we miss the point of that holy night if it doesn't awaken inside of us the anticipation of his second coming on that great and glorious day of his return and the final deliverance. For most of us, things that make life hard can often make us feel worse during the Christmas season. Culturally, we've turned Christmas into a matter of performance in many ways. There's pressure to have life looking perfect when it's not, pressure to have impressive-looking homes, delicious-looking food, above-average children that we write about in Christmas cards. Meanwhile, the truth is, there's broken relationships, deaths in the family, financial difficulties and uncertainties that feel all the more pronounced. A season of presumed celebration can make the hardships and difficulties even more powerful. And so if that makes sense to you, Isaiah 9 is for you. It's for us all. God didn't come into this world to congratulate the successful, those who have their lives all together. He came for those walking in darkness. They have seen a great light. We sang earlier, "O come, all you faithful, joyful, and triumphant." But if those were the conditions necessary before we can come to Him, none of us could be there. But that's not who He came for. For He calls out today, saying, "Come ye, all ye faithless, joyless, and defeated, come into my rest. My burden is easy, and my yoke is light. The light of the nations, the Lord Jesus Christ, means joy and freedom." And Isaiah says in chapter 9, verse 3 and 4, he says, "You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil, for the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian." Well, the day of Midian was a great day, a victorious day of victory, recorded in Judges 6 and 7. It's about a time when Israel was being pursued by the Midianites. And God told Gideon that it's not going to be by your own strength you're going to win. And so God dwindled down the Israelite soldiers down to 300 men, and they defeated the entire Midianite army with lights, pots of clay, and God's power. It's a clue that the victory of Isaiah that he's foretelling will be similar. It'll be unusual and unlikely, yet it will come. And with it, the final end of all conflict. We need this victory, not just because of the war-torn character of the world, but because of the deeper conflict and the oppression under which all of us labor as descendants of Adam. Jesus said, "Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." In John 8:34, all other conflicts and oppressions derive ultimately from this one source, the sinful nature, and God will end it. How? Through a baby. An improbable victory, as he did before on that day he delivered Israel from the Midianites. What would this victory look like? How unlikely would it be? Isaiah tells us in verse 6. He says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And so Christmas is for the weary. It's for the messed up. It's for the broken. If your life doesn't line up to the cultural and social pressures of this world, well, Christmas is for you. Isaiah is for you. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. I'd like to close with the words of a poet by the name of C.F. Alexander. In her poem, "Once in Royal David City," she writes, "He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. With the poor and mean and lowly, lived on earth our Savior holy." Let us pray. Gracious God and Father, we thank you that you sent the Christ child, the Messiah who was promised and predicted by the prophets to save us from our sins. And Lord, we look back this morning to that holy night, the quiet night, when you sent our deliverer in the most unlikely of places, a dangerous place. The road to Bethlehem was a dangerous one. It was a dirty place. It was a humble place. And you came down here, Lord, not because you had to, but because you wanted us to know that you know what it's like to live here on earth as one of us. And you came to pay the ultimate sacrifice. the only perfect and pure sacrifice that could be offered would be you, because only you are perfect and pure. And so you did that, making peace by the blood of the cross. So thank you, Lord, for your great salvation. If there's anyone here this morning who hasn't come to the Christ child to receive salvation and forgiveness of sins, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, that you would look upon the manger, that you would look upon the cross, that you would hear and understand the words of the prophet Isaiah, the one who was sent to save us from our sins. And so, Lord, great is your salvation, and we wait in eager anticipation for that day when you will return, not under humble circumstances, but you will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with the armies of angels in heaven and your holy ones and those who are believing in Jesus. And on that great and glorious day, you will make everything right. You will destroy suffering and death forever. You will recreate the heavens and the earth, and we will be there together with you as our good Father. Thank you, Jesus. Would you bless our congregation this morning? Fill them with your Spirit as we follow you and wait for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning, church. So Kevin did a great job leading the children in the performance today. Yeah, give him a hand. And he put it together knowing that it would not be perfect. He put it together knowing that he gave us a script to follow and we were supposed to do certain things at certain times, but could he have predicted that adults wouldn't even bother to learn their lines or that they might lead the other shepherds off the wrong side of the stage? No, he didn't know that, no. But that's how things go. And he knew coming into this that it would not be perfect, but that was okay. I really liked the visuals that Brian brought this morning of the lunar missions and the Apollo missions. And if you know any of their history, they knew it would not be perfect. There were going to be mistakes along the way. People died along the way for those missions. But they knew it would not be perfect. But this morning, as we have come together to celebrate Christmas, we can celebrate that God has plans that are perfect. God put plans together that knew about every mistake we were going to make in our lives. God put plans together that knew that his son would come and knew that his son would come at an exact time in history. He put plans together knowing that his son would die. In fact, that was the plan. It was not an accident. It wasn't some horrible gone wrong situation. Jesus came to lay his life down. And God can put plans together that involve all of our mistakes and every mess up in history, things that we know from the past, things that we've done today, tomorrow, and things that we will do wrong in the future, things that will happen 10 years from now, 100 years from now, God willing, 1,000 years from now. God's plans already include all of those mistakes. And so God is above us all, and God reigns, and God saves. And only a God that can do all that, that can plan all that with all of our mishaps, is worthy of being God. And he is God. So let's praise him and thank him as we give our offering today. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for being Lord of all. We thank you for holding the world in your hands, for keeping everything as it should be, guiding it. And Lord, most of all, for saving us from our messy lives. I thank you for what Brian shared. You came for people whose lives are a mess, who have lost faith, who have no sight, so that we can see, so that we can have faith, and so that we can be sanctified. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.